Father, have Jesus in silver gold, rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land, rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. To be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sway. Jesus, that in this world of foe today, I'd rather have Jesus than have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain. Have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Amen. You're so blessed if you really feel that way tonight. We have quite a few prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Wes Willis, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these tonight. Sister Simone Phillips is sick tonight. She has a severe sinus infection, not feeling well at all. I ask that we remember her. Please pray for our daughter, Rebecca, who is under tremendous mental pressure, needs deliverance. That's from a sister, Jennifer, from Australia. So let's remember that. Also pray for Peggy Larson from Wisconsin. She had a tumor removed from her brain and is having difficulty breathing and swallowing. So let's remember that very serious need. Also pray for Sister Wilma Benton. She's been in urgent care. She's been diagnosed with shingles. So let's remember Sister Wilma. Sister Barbara Gravely has a bacterial infection. And also Brother Bert running a fever right now. So let's remember them. Continue to remember Sister Jane Terrell. She's in rehab center. Also remember Brother Jeans. He's staying with her constantly. So let's just pray for strength for them. Sister Ruth Ann Carter turns in a testimony. Wants to thank everyone for praying for Max, Brother Max's sister Fran. She's home doing good. Max's brother Cameron is worse. They think it may be a stroke, weakness on one side, and slurred speech. So ask that we'd remember him. Another unspoken request for Sister Jane Terrell. And then also remember Sister Shirley Robbins having trouble with her back. Request prayer tonight. Let's stand, if you will. Brother Wes comes, takes these needs to the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, so grateful that we have a father, a brother, a friend that we can come to, that we can trust with everything, Lord. This life sometimes seems difficult. It seems like just when we think things are, we're starting to get a grasp of things, then something will hit us, from just blindside us, a sickness, a some kind of ailment, Lord, some kind of injury will come against us, Lord, and it's just like the snap of a whip, Lord. But you took those stripes for us, Father, and we don't have to die now because of what you did. And Lord, I'm so grateful that we've got a God who cares. The devil lies to us and tells us that you're so distant, you're so far away. He tries to put question marks in our mind. He tries to make us doubt and have faith. Faithless fear just overwhelms us, Lord. But Lord, you've given us faith. You've given us healing. You've given us strength, Lord. You've given us a God who loves us beyond compare, who never leaves us alone. Lord, when this world looks the darkest, when we understand the least, you're there with us every step of the way. You're not just there with your arms around us, but you're in us, letting your life live out through us, Lord. And it pushes back all that darkness. It pushes back all the fear. It pushes back everything the devil throws at us, Lord. We're so grateful to have a God who cares, who has compassion, who feels what we feel, who has been through what we've been through, who's faced everything, Lord, the death of a friend, the loss of loved ones, backsliding friends, everything, Lord, you faced it all. You've seen it all. There's nothing, Lord, that you've not felt or been through or been tempted with or that's come against you, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful to not be alone. Father, we worship you. We love you. And we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, Lord, as your body. Lord, we ask with faith, believing, for each and every one of these needs, Lord. Some of them look so dark. I mean, it's just so hard the way the devil comes against us sometimes. But we know that that's just the lie. That's just the illusion, Lord. The thing that covers up what the real truth is. And that is that we are eternal. And no matter what comes against our bodies or our life situations or anything else, we are eternal in you, Lord. And we are stepping into eternity soon. And we just ask you to prepare us. Help us, Lord. Talk to us. Speak to us through our brother as he comes out tonight so that we don't forget, so that we don't start to doubt, Lord. We've come here tonight to worship the King of Heaven, the King of our souls, the Captain of our ship, Lord. You're everything to us, Lord. You're so mighty, so powerful, so wonderful, and yet so close. Lord, we just love you so much. I thank you, Lord, for how you're going to be manifested through these prayer requests. I know there's going to be testimonies that come forth, Lord, of what you've done. I've seen so many, Lord, now. It'll never become common, but I've seen so many testimonies of your faithfulness and your healing and your love for us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, as we dedicate the rest of this service to you. And we give you everything we've got in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Wes. F, give me oil in my lamp. Who would like some oil in their lamp tonight? Who knows we're in the right place to get it? Amen. Let's sing this together. Well, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me all. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. The King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight, let's sing Walking Up the King's Highway. D. D. Well, my way gets brighter, my load gets lighter, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure and God. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Well, I don't have to worry, I don't have to hurry, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. But if you're not walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing you'll be possessing, walking up the King's highway. Well, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, I'm walking up the King's highway. Brother Matt Carter, I believe Brother Matt has a song for us tonight. If you'd like to come and be getting ready.
I could handle this life on my own. I never dreamed I'd need someone to help me through life's storm. But God knew I could never cross the darkened raging sea, so He made a my escape upon that old rugged tree. Now, I don't need to walk on the water. A bridge was built for me. God gave His Son, who gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Now, I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe because of what God did. I don't need to walk on water. I have a bridge. It's an old familiar his story, how the Savior walked the sea. And he called out to Peter, won't you come and walk to me? Now sometimes my faith, it gets so low, it's down to sink or swim. But I can rise above all those angry waves. I have a bridge, it's him. I don't need to walk on the water. A bridge was built for me. God gave his son, who gave his life on the cross at Calvary. Now I can walk in faith, I'm sheltered safe, because of what God did. Now I don't need to walk on water, I have a bridge. Oh, I don't need to walk on water, I have a bridge.
D, man in the middle. Let's sing Man in the Middle, D. Let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. We know he inhabits the praise of his people, don't we? Let's just praise him for a minute as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and make sure that we have an atmosphere created where the word can come freely and we can receive tonight. I need him tonight. Do you need him? I don't want to hinder you. I don't want you to hinder me. Let's come together. Let's create an atmosphere in here tonight where God can do something special in our lives. I need him. You need him. Let's sing this together and let's sing it with all of our heart. Let's love on him some so he can come and inhabit true praise.
There was a mountain, and there were three trees. There was a good man, and there were two thieves. A man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree, but Jesus took the middle one, and you and I, Barabbas, went free. Let's sing it with all our heart tonight. I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could.
Let's sing that second verse together.
A hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom. The scenery was so dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against a darkened sky. Not from pain, but a broken heart, that middle man died. I loved that man in the middle, because I know he first
Let's sing it again. Praise the Lord. That you and I could go free. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love Him tonight for that? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Maybe I look at it wrong, but to me, if He never done anything else for me the rest of my life, if He done that one thing, I shouldn't complain. But He done that, and then He's done millions of other things. And He just keeps on doing. And the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of God together? Certainly missed you while we were gone. Heard you had some really good services, Brother David. Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Probably most of you know that my dear little wife broke a wing while she was gone. We was coming from Brother Mike's on Sunday, and she stopped at McDonald's to use the bathroom. And then she'd come out, they'd mop the floor, but they mopped the floor over here and put the sign over here. So she hit it, and her feet flew out from under and tried to catch herself on her wrist and broke a bone right here. So she's going to have surgery a week from tomorrow. So we certainly desire your prayers that the Lord will just be with her and help her. So far from everybody that we've talked to and everybody that knows about the injury, has just been just overwhelmed that she hasn't had to be on constant pain meds and just one deal after another after another. You know who we give the praise to? Dr. Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're just so grateful. Prayers work. Amen. You believe that? Amen. They do. Amen. We've all had it done for us, and we're so grateful. So we certainly desire your prayers for her, that the Lord will just be with her. There'll be no complications of it, and God will just heal her. Amen. Well, I look at it, the Lord could heal her before she ever goes to the surgery anyway. Oh, you say you're nuts. I am not. I believe He's that big of a God. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Acts chapter 24, verse 24. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years... 2 years. Now, 2 years for a lazy man who's not doing anything might not be that long. But when you're talking about a missionary, when you're talking about a man who's traveled by land, by sea, by caravan, by donkey, by so many ways to go spread the gospel, and you are locked up for 2 years. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, or his position. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. My, my. How many like to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayer? Amen. Me too. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace upon our lives. Thank you for your mercy to each one of us, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we could be gathered together once again, Lord Jesus. We love you so very, very much. We are so thankful, Lord, that through things that we go through in life, that your grace is always sufficient for us, Lord. You don't promise understanding of things that we go through, but what you promise is comfort and peace and help in the time of trouble. And we know that the understanding of many of the things that we go through won't come until we get there later. But we have enough trust in you to know that you do all things perfect, Lord. I pray that as we look into the life of this great servant of God again tonight, that you would speak to us once again, Lord. I'm sure that we already see the book of Acts is more than healing, more than signs, more than miracles. May we get a little greater glimpse of that very same thing again tonight. Lord, you see these prayer calls that I have in my hand. Lord, these folks from Texas, I pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for their needs. Also, Sister Ruth Ward, you see, Father, the things that she's dealing with in her body. Lord Jesus, we send your word. Precious Father, with these prayer cloths in the name of Jesus, as I wear them next to my body tonight, as your anointing comes, may that anointing go with them, Lord, I pray. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. How many come to receive something from the Lord tonight? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. You imagine this man, there's no way that he knew exactly who was talking to him, or the opportunity that had been given to him. He was moved, no doubt, moved to such a degree that he trembled and shook. I don't believe that Paul, his own words, would have been that great alone. He had heard Paul speak before, and that didn't do it. But it must have been the anointing and the words of life which were coming to him. Maybe the words of the prelude of a great white throne. When he himself was living in sin, when he himself had no doubt done many, many things wrong, maybe for a moment he began to see, just for a moment, a prelude of what was going to meet him at that great day. But like many, many other people, once the Spirit of God deals with the human heart in such a capacity, he's never obligated to actually ever do it again. By grace, he does to many over and over again. But yet apparently this was his one time. After that one time, then he communes with Paul frequently. But it doesn't bother him again. Oh, to me, that is such a sad thing. To think that a person would hear the words of life. Now, whether or not Felix understood it, those words that Paul said to him were recorded in another dimension. Those words will meet him at the day of judgment. It will not be so much the Lord Jesus. It will not be Gabriel. It will not be Michael. It will not be the archangels that will stand there and witness against him. It will be the very man, the very preacher that was standing there with his hands bound that will meet him at that day. You see, this is one thing that makes it so difficult for a true servant of God. For some men that think they're called to preach, All preaching is traveling around, going here and there, getting an offering, doing this and that and the other, being in the limelight as they say it. Probably the ones who feel of it that way ain't called in the first place. But to a real servant of God, there is such a fear that comes with preaching the truth. Because you know you will stand before God and before many mortals that day at the day of judgment. It will not be Paul that will stand there before many people that have sat here at Happy Valley. It will not be Lucifer. You will never be able to claim your cause to John the Beloved. Many of you who have heard the truth and have turned it down, many that have sat in this church and have sat in different churches around the world and have heard men of God proclaim the truth. Oh, they may try to go and say, I plead my case to Paul. God will not even honor your cause at all. It will be to the pastor or the prophet of God of this age by which you will be judged. Don't think that you're going to plead your case to Paul and say, oh, I bypassed Brother Donnie. I bypassed Brother Branham. You can do whatever you want to do. It will not be honored in the eyes of God. And for those who feel like they don't need a pastor and they're going to plead their cause to Brother Branham, you're also wasting your time. Because that very pastor that you set in his community, that God set him there to be your pastor, and you stayed home or went selectively, it will not be Brother Branham that you will stand before. It will be that man of God that you abused his gift and did not stand with him in the time of trouble. Come on, saints. It is more than lifting an offering and more than preaching a sermon and more than putting things together. It's knowing that God has commit folks' soul to your charge. Oh, you say, is it that way? It is. Discernment of spirit. 1960, when the prophet said, knowing that we ministers shall be judges. And people's eternal destination will be determined according to the gospel that we bring them. Now, you know, some, as I said, get that chance maybe once in a lifetime. And God is obligated only to that one time. Others, He by His grace will give it to them over and over again. Do I understand that? I do not. But Paul must have had such a peculiar anointing that was on him. Maybe that drama of the personal presence of Christ that was able to emanate the judgment in such a serious sense that a man that probably had never even felt the Holy Ghost, a man that had never felt the conviction of Jesus Christ, but God used his servant in such a profound way it made his flesh to tremble. But think about it, friends. This man was used to being, oh my, rubbing shoulders with Nero. His brother sat at the court of Nero. He knew Claudia. He knew all the different great men. No doubt it hurt many men. I imagine that when he stood before Nero, they're fixing to recall him after this event. In about 2 years, he's going to be replaced by Porcius Festus. Almost lost his life had it not been for his brother. But yet, no doubt he heard great men and sat with great men. He had never sat before a greater. He had heard Nero make all kinds of mandates and say all kinds of different things. He had heard all types of Roman governors and whatever more make various statements. But I guarantee you one thing, none of them would have the effect upon his soul of what this man had to say. Maybe you've met great men, and maybe you've shook the hands of governors, and maybe you've shook the hand of the president or the vice president or whoever more. But let me just be honest and frank with you tonight. You have never sat under a man with any more greater impact upon your soul than you have a gospel preacher that is telling the truth. Oh, your job, your boss, your foreman, that might be important. The CEO of your company, that might be important. But they do not have the words of eternal life.
Now, to think of it, friends, of what a responsibility then that God gives us. It is a great honor to be able to sit under the ministry of a God-called man whose gift comes from the presence of God. Our conqueror, the Lord Jesus, when he ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men, he distributed his apostolic gifts in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The mighty conqueror rode through the congregation and dispersed those gifts in the lives of these individual men. It is an honor to sit, therefore, under a gifted man. But it is not just an honor. It is a responsibility. It is not just a responsibility to hear what the man has to say, but it is a responsibility to put your life in action with what he's saying. It's your responsibility to stand with that man. I ain't talking about your money either. I'm talking about your allegiance to Christ the Word. I'm talking about your prayers. I'm talking about your attendance. I'm talking about your support and making the body of Christ what it ought to be. Each of us have that to each other. Praise the Lord. Now, you're Felix, you know, no doubt the man being a slave and being brought up a heathen pretty much all of his life. And I'm sure that he did not comprehend, but there was enough comprehension to be able to allow him to make this permanent record. Now, think of it. This one sermon that Paul spoke, Luke does not tell us how long that Paul went. He does not tell us the subject matter other than just condenses it under the three portions by which he dealt with. But a lot can be said by the three matters in which he said. But it must have been a tremendously moving type of sermon. And it must have been something so astounding that God in heaven could say, this one time will judge Felix. Make this the permanent record. He does not need another opportunity. Oh my God, help us, Lord. Now, think of it that Paul, as this man now, turns down his opportunity about his soul. Now the focus begins to change upon what he can get out of Paul. He does not want what Paul has to say and the liberty and freedom of the soul, because enough was said to let him know he'll have to let go of his wife. He's living in adultery. Drusilla's already been married. It's the devil the last time we spoke to you about it. He's got enough about him, enough knowledge about him to know it requires more than what he wants to live. So then he begins to focus on the next thing by which Paul might be able to benefit him, and that is that he could get money. Now, they'd already accused him. The lawyer had said that Paul was the ringleader of the sect called the Nazarenes. Now, maybe Paul's appearance already knew he was not a rich man. No doubt he did not dress like a prince. He did not dress like a great man, but in very common type of clothes. And yet they knew also that he had this large following. The following had already made its way to Rome, to Bithynia, to different parts of the world. So no doubt Felix had at least somewhat of an understanding that it was a large following. So he wants to be able to use Paul's freedom and his identity with Paul to see if he would be able to get some money. You know, it's a sad thing to say, but so many people do the same thing. And we know that preachers have done the same thing, that they try to use their gift and make it just no more than just a money market at all as it is. Praise the Lord. But yet now he has resisted the preaching of Paul and turned down the gospel in order to set his soul free. Now he wants the aspect or the affiliation of being identified with Paul. Now the man's in a peculiar situation because he wants to be able to please the Jews. But he doesn't want to totally make an outright offense to Paul, knowing that he also has an offense, or a people, that he has an influence on a large gathering of people. So he thinks, how can I play the middle? How can I stand in the middle and not offend the Jews? And how can I be able to stand over here and let me do something that will be interpreted by Paul's followers as a great Roman gesture? And by doing so, I can stand in the middle and both groups will like me. Oh, I tell you, I can't stand a coward. I cannot stand a coward. You know what I'm saying? Now, whenever he, having resisted the gospel, now he wants to come over to this. So then he brings Paul to this spot to where he's going to put him in prison, and he's going to let him have liberty. Now, notice this is the move by which he's going to try to do that. But, you know, I honestly believe with all my heart, it is the sovereignty of God that has moved upon this heathen, and God's going to actually give Paul some liberty. Now, remember, he's going to be shut up for 2 years. Felix could have let him go because he didn't have any evidence against him, and he could have absolutely set him free, but he desired to please the Jews. Now, the sovereignty of God certainly would have more power than a Roman governor. But you think, why in the world would the Lord let him sit there for 2 years, a missionary? Now, you think, if he would have been just an Old Testament prophet, that would have been right down his alley. He'd have been away from everybody else, stomp out of the wilderness, you know, and get away from everybody. But he was an apostolic prophet, which was a different view than the Old Testament prophet. So he's not only a prophet, but he was an apostle. He wasn't a missionary. Praise the Lord. So he was a man that wanted to help the people. And here he is now going to sit in this prison for 2 years. Have you ever been in times in your life when you are shut down seemingly, and the very thing that it looks like that you are called to do, you are cut off from doing because of circumstances beyond your ability and control? And yet it seemed like, now what would God want to leave a missionary in jail for 2 years? A pastor is one thing, as long as you're in the jail in which your church is in, then at least the church could come and see you. At least some of the deacons and some of the preachers could come and see you. But a missionary goes here and there and there and there and there. What in the world is a missionary doing being locked up in jail and set there for 2 years? Could not the power of God bring him out? Wonder what the reason was. I don't know. That's question 9,845,333 that I plan on asking the Lord after I get all mine asked first about me. Praise the Lord. Now, do we understand what happens to us in things of life? We don't. But yet we also know that God has it all in control. Is that right? Now watch verse 27, just to give you that little background there. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, or Felix's position. Now Felix has been actually called in by Nero. Now, you know, the same thing that happened to Paul, where they led Paul away and they led him from Jerusalem up to Caesarea in chains. Now, the same thing happens to Felix. Now, Felix has been caught double dealing. Felix has been caught by manipulating Roman law, and Nero sends for Felix to report to Rome. So now this very same man that treated the prophet of God the way he did, he is now led to Rome with shackles on his feet and chains upon his hands. Oh my, you can't do the people of God wrong and get by with it. So Paul was unjustly detained now for 2 years. So there is a change in the command, the Roman command, and now it changes over to Porcius Festus. And Luke says, after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. Now, you imagine what a difficult time in Paul praying and wondering, Lord, what am I doing here? What in the world is this going on? But I just can't believe that Paul sat there from day to day to day, all down and depressed and wore out, and, well, I'm quitting. I ain't going to serve God no more. If God, a God that can't keep you and watch over you, a God that sends you out on the field, if he can't keep you out on the field, why even go? Why even serve him? Why even? No, as a matter of fact, historically, it's during this time that the book of Luke is written, overseen by Paul. Remember where he's in jail. Israel, the very land of the miracles of the Lord Jesus. Had he been in Rome, Luke would not have been able to go around. Where do you think Luke got these eyewitnesses? Now remember, Luke was not there. Luke was not one of the original disciples. No, Luke was not there when the Lord Jesus was there. But yet some of his declarations of the miracles and the signs that happened are some of the most tremendous of the four Gospels. And you say, where did he get them? During this time frame, while Paul is in jail, Luke is going out and getting the history. And you imagine he would go out and bring the stories together to be able to visit Paul. And then Paul, being the prophet of the age, was helping Luke put together the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Oh, praise the Lord. Dumb devil. I mean, dumb devil. You know what Paul would have been doing if he had not been out there. He'd been over there preaching, over there preaching, over there preaching. But God said, Paul, take a little rest, buddy. Here, let me put you up in a Roman hotel. I mean a Roman jail. And let them feed you and water you and clothe you. And I'm going to send Luke out there. And Luke is going to go out. He's going to be able to contact Bartimaeus. And Luke is going to be able to go over here and contact this one and that one and that one. He's going to be able to go contact those of the 500 witnesses that are there on the mountain when I descended up into heaven. He's going to go around, gather all the stories, then he'll come in, he'll say unto you, because he understands the need of a prophet in his life, and you'll be able to sit down and talk and pray, and you'll be able to write this book, because Donnie needs this book real bad, and David needs this book, these young men, these young sisters, they're going to need this book. Paul said, okay, Lord, if that's what you got planned, that's fine. I have no problem with that. As long as I know I'm in your will, Lord. As long as I know I'm not just sitting on my hands, so to speak, and I'm not doing nothing. Oh, no, Paul. You're working for me. Oh, my. What a mysterious thing it must have been to the church. As they pondered and wondered, Lord, what's going on? Here your prophet is up there in jail. Here your servant under false pretense, under lies, in jail. Oh my. After 2 years, Porcius Festus. Now he's made governor of Judea by Nero. Oh my. Felix is now taken away. And Paul, isn't it amazing? 2 years after he's held there, he's not preached publicly one time. He's not held one meeting. And yet these demons on these priests hate this man so bad, it's like the fervor of their hatred is as strong as it was the day he was arrested. Now, a lot of people say, oh, let it go, forget about it, it don't matter. Don't you understand, friends? A lot of these folks that left the message and writing all the lies and all the stuff they're doing, do you understand the anointing that's on them? They would have been the people in this day persecuting Paul. The people in this day that's persecuting this message and leaving this message and saying all kinds of things about it, they would have been these very people that we are reading about tonight. You know why? The book of Acts is continuing on tonight. We have them same type of people that Paul dealt with them. And they're persecuting and lying and standing against the message just like they did 2,000 years ago. Will they stop it? Never! Will they stop us? Never. Will they slow us down? Never. It's just going to make it hard on them, and they won't stop us. Now what's chapter 25, verse 1. When Festus come into the province. Now he's a new governor. Now remember the book of Acts. What we're talking about, the continuation of the book of Acts. So we're seeing that God would deal with the apostles and signs and wonders and miracles and healings. But we're also seeing there's a larger scope to the book of Acts, and that is dealing with church problems. And also dealing with heathens. Don't you know you've got to understand how to deal with heathens in this life in order to be ready for the millennium? Don't you know why we have to know how to deal with people and be able to be Christ-like and have a character that is like Him? Because we are going to sit upon the throne. Everybody cannot be good around you and I. All the situations around us cannot be good. Everything around us cannot go our way. Some things have to go contrary. Some things have to cross us, because it's in those times that we really prove our character and who we are. Oh my. Now he's made governor, the Roman governor, by Nero. So he wants to come from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now, he's a political guy, so he went, how y'all doing? How you? I'm the new governor. How you doing? How you doing? Come around smiling, smiling, smiling. You know, how y'all? I'm the new governor. I'm going to be able to rule over you folks. And I'm going to, he needs the people now. He needs the Sanhedrin. He needs the Jews. So Festus, having entered into the duties of his governorship, he wants to come. Caesarea, of course, is the capital of them, but Jerusalem being the capital, the religious capital. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. I imagine they did. Now, we want you to know, sir, we have tried to find 16 men, a record of 16 men that fell off that bridge up there, and we can't find it nowhere. And we can't find this, and we can't find that, and we can't find it. We believe this man's a liar and a false prophet. We just really believe he caused a sedition and causing all kinds of people to make a following after him. I'll tell you one thing, the man ought to hang. We ought to dig his bones up and throw him in the river. We ought to do this and that and the other. Oh, don't you imagine they unloaded on this guy? You know how it is. The first one to get the story told is the one that's the most believable. That's why God had Brother Branham before he had these flop jaws right now that's saying what they're saying behind it. So we've done got the truth. You believe whoever you want. For me, I'm going to stick with Elijah. Oh, Brother Donnie, all this stuff shakes me. I'm ashamed of you if it shakes you. You'd be shook by a bunch of liars and ain't never had one supernatural sign behind them. And you'll turn away from a ministry that has raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind. Not only that, brought the presence of Jesus Christ down. And you'd turn away from that and follow somebody with words? You're pitiful. Now notice the very impressive political clout. The high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor. Not truth, but favor. Against him, that is, of Festus. So they said, you're a noble, royal, molasses, chocolate-covered s'mores, sweet honey pie, darling. We desire a favor of you. Aren't you glad we don't have to get down and lick the devil's boots? We just look him in the face and say, go on back to hell and get out of my face. Go on, get. We're not bound to you, devil. They desired favor against him that he would send for him, to Jerusalem, lying in the way to kill him. Now, they're going to portray it. Of course, they're not going to tell Porcius Festus this. They're going to say, we want him to come up there because there's where the crimes was done. He ought to answer up there. So we desire thee, oh great noble one, oh high and lofty one, oh my, 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 rigmarole, on and on and on. Please, great noble Festus, would you send him up there? Why, it just makes sense that he ought to come up there, and we'll kill him when you do. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea. What an overriding of divine providence. Now already the man's got to cross him. They ain't been in there 5 minutes. And already he's got to cross him. He's thinking in his mind, why did I just say that? Why did I just do that? God made you, Festus. If God can make Festus say something he don't want to say, what about you children of God? But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Now look, friends, even in the midst of this trial, God is watching over his servant. May I say the same thing with you and I tonight when we go through things? It doesn't mean, oh my, that God's forsaken us and turned his back on us. He's with us right in the midst of the fire. Exactly right. Now notice God. You imagine that God looks and laughs at the plots of the wicked to destroy his people. The devil works and plans and works and works overtime and double time to try to make you fall. And the very day he's going to spring it, God springs and counteracts it and saves you from it before he ever goes through it. Now, I grant you, he can't spare you from everything that comes along the way. But I wonder, when we get there, part of what we're going to see in our life is that he spared us from way many more than what we ever went through. We think we give so much, but I wonder when we get there, Brother David, if we're not going to be overwhelmed by all the things He kept us from and all the things that He went through and packed us through on the other side. Oh, praise God. Now notice the governor. He needs these guys. These guys control the peace among the populace of the Jews. So he says, let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Now those of you that can, you've got money, you've got the means, if it won't hinder you working, whatever more, come on down. Just come down with me to Caesarea. And I'm thinking, why did I just say that? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to move one man? I'm here and they're here. All we got to do is go get him. And God said, nope. I don't want him up there. I want him down there. Couldn't the same God said, turn him loose? And Festus would have said, I'm setting him free today. But God said he's going to Rome. And he's got some more kings to witness to before he gets there. Amen. Notice, if there be any wickedness in this man, then y'all come down, bring your witnesses, and we'll have a tribunal, and we'll set it up, and then we'll judge this man. When he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Now here he tarries, and he waits, and he tarries, and maybe getting the entourage already, so he comes down there. And now Paul's going to get his opportunity. And when he was come, the Jews that's come down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many. Oh, yeah. Many and grievous complaints against Brother Branham, which they could not prove. Brother Donnie, I can prove to you Brother Branham preached so-and-so just like so-and-so. You can prove that. But can you prove to me he read the book? Brother Branham come to gather the loose ends. So you're going to find in this message things that Brother Branham said, that Martin Luther said, that John Wesley said, that the Pentecostal said, that Moody said, that Spurgeon said, that Larkin said. Why? He's gathering the loose ends. That is the ministry of the seventh angel. That does not take away from him. That fulfills Scripture, Brother David. Praise the Lord. That's what God said the seventh angel would do. He would be able to finish the mystery of God. And the saints said, hallelujah. So what did they do? They laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Prove? What do you need to prove it for? I mean, we're just the high priest, we're the Sanhedrin, we're the most religious people in the world. What difference does it make if we lie? What difference does it make if we lie to make Brother Branham look false? What difference does that make? The difference is temperature. Where you're going to wind up after a while, you'll understand what a difference it makes. While we're enjoying the cool breezes off of the river of life. Oh, hallelujah. Your altitude will be adjusted by your attitude. And because your attitude stinks, you're going to wind up in a stinking place. Because our attitude is high, it's going to take us to a high altitude. Amen. The scripture says, prove all things. But, of course, they didn't need to prove it. Friends, don't you understand what these people are doing? The time is not yet right, but they're sowing seeds for their temple to be annihilated. They're sowing seeds for their high priest to be cut to pieces. They're sowing seeds for their children to be eaten. When Titus comes and besieges the city in 70 AD, the Almighty got to such a spot that they didn't have any food, that they would eat cow dung. They would eat horse dung, then they would cut up one another's animals, and then they would cut and sell one another's children. They ate the bark off the trees. They ate the grass off the ground, the leaf off of the tree. And when somebody would die, they would be out there with knives cutting the flesh off of their body to see who could get there first to eat you. What brought it on them? What brought it on them? Stuff just like this right here. Don't you understand what waits for our nation? Not only ours, but the world of rejecting God's word. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't want to be in some of the shoes of some of these folks that turned away from this message. Call Brother Branham a liar. Lord Jesus, have mercy. When he's going to stand him at the day of judgment, the fiery eyes of God's going to look right down him. The prophet of God said, my voice will haunt you down in hell. Can you imagine the very voice that some of these folks hate? It won't be my voice for some of them they'll hear. It won't be the voice of Jesus. It'll be that very same voice of the seventh angel that they hate. It will haunt them in hell. Part of the torment in hell, it ain't just burning, burning, burning. It's things that you turn down. No doubt there are people that have sat in this service or sat in this church rather, and part of their torment in the regions of the lost will be reliving every service they sat here. When the Spirit of God moved on their heart, when the singing was going on and the music was being played and the preacher was preaching and they felt the tug of God and they turned it down and they'll relive it in hell. And they get that one relived and then another one will come. And another will come, and another will come, and they'll be tormented for thousands of years with those memories of church, memories of songs, memories of preaching.
And many of them from the very preacher they hate the most. Oh my, but while they're being tormented with it, we'll be shouting down streets ago. Glory to God. You'll be coming around shaking my hand, Brother David's hand, Brother Terry, these other ministers sitting here tonight saying, Brother West, thank you for that sermon you preached, brother. It was such a blessing to me. Thank you for that sermon, brother. God bless you. Thank you for preaching the truth. It helped me so much. And down there, if you only knew it in another realm, people are remembering in their mind the very same sermon you're thanking God for. And they're remembering how it was. And the Spirit of God so moved on their heart that their knuckles turned white while they were standing there grabbing a hold of that pew. Oh, friend, this is not a game. It is a reality, and one day we're going to have to answer for this truth.
I want to answer with joy, don't you? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My, my. Verse 7, and when he was come, the Jews which come down from Jerusalem stood round about, laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Now you imagine from his conversation, his manner of life, his doctrine, everything Luke says that they laid before him, they couldn't prove none of it. Now remember, they've got to be able to prove it in a political thing as if he is against the emperor in order to be able to bring an accusation to where Roman judgment will condemn him. And there they stood, Brother Gene, absolutely lying before God and lying before the governor. But they hated him so bad, they wanted rid of him. Listen, friends, them spirits that was on them people are still alive tonight. But let's flip the coin and say the same spirit that was in that prophet of God is alive tonight in us. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Persecutors of Christians still do the same thing. They make accusations. Look, they made accusations against our Lord. They made accusations against the first century Christians. They made it against the second century and on down. Can we expect them to do anything different to us? No. They will fabricate. They will twist. They will contort. And that's what they're supposed to do.
And we're supposed to say what's been said and go right on. Verse 8. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, neither yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Now he didn't say he hadn't busted the devil's hide. He said against the temple, against Caesar, I ain't done none of it. I've tore hell upside down, but... And that's the very reason I'm here, he said. That's the very reason I'm here. The devil knows I ain't sending the contrary to Caesar's law nor against the temple. Oh, my. nor yet against Caesar. I've not done it. I know exactly where I stand. My, my. Notice that in verse 9. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judge of these things before me? Isn't it amazing that your Festus follows around that same thing as Felix, wanting to do the Jews a pleasure? Oh my, one of these days, Porcius Festus will relive his opportunity. He could have done a pleasure to Paul. But instead, he did it to his enemies. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. The seat on which Porcius Festus was seated as Caesar's representative was Caesar's seat. Caesar never sat there, neither was it built by Caesar. But by representation, he was Caesar. Don't you understand why the bride will be the final voice in the last day? Don't you understand how serious it is when people speak against the bride of Christ and her message? Some of you don't think I'm crazy anyhow. I'm going to give you a little more to think I'm even crazier about. I have been sit here as other men of God have been sent in this age. I represent Christ's judgment seat. Not only the judgment seat, but for those who receive His truth, it is the mercy seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul knew he stood there before the judgment seat, but he also knew all Festus would have to say is, you are free. Then the judgment seat would turn into the mercy seat. Oh, my friend, how in the world can I turn away from this truth? At one time, I stood before the judgment seat of God. I was a blind, wretched, naked Laodicean, but I stood before that judgment seat, and my first husband died. And when he died, that judgment seat turned into a mercy seat as the cherubims turned toward one another and looked at the mystery of the work of grace in my life. It turned from a judgment seat to a mercy seat. I will never stand in the white throne because my judgment has already bypassed that. I now embrace God's mercy seat. Hallelujah! I embrace God's mercy seat. By representation, Porcius Festus speaks on behalf of Nero. By representation, God called men in this day with the baptism of the Holy Ghost speak in proxy for the Lord Jesus Himself. You say that is crazy. Don't call Brother Branham crazy. Brother Branham said, when I think of a God-called minister in this day to stand in the very... We are called to stand in the very footsteps of Jesus Christ. Amen, church! It's not Brother Wes. It's not Brother David. It's not these other men. It's not that. It's Jesus Christ using His own gift. Oh, but they're human. Sure, they're human, just like you're human. But it does not change when God speaks His word out of them lips. What are they? They will stand. Oh, God, have mercy one day when God calls this community together. I will stand there. I will stand there. Many that have laughed and ridiculed and made fun of us, they would to God that had never done it. They will stand there. Who are they going to see? That preacher they ridicule. That preacher they put your name in the paper and call you everything in the world. One day when I stand there beside Jesus Christ and this community walks up there, it won't be Brother Adam there. It won't be Paul. It won't be Peter. It'll be us. Why? This is His judgment seat. But to those of you who've allowed this judgment to break forth on you now, your sins have gone before you.
Praise be to God. You have received His mercy. His mercy. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. Now, Caesarea, remember, was the political capital of Israel. He said, you are not moving me to the church. Jerusalem. Don't you understand what? That's what they want to do to us. They want to move us to the church and crucify us and the message before their church greet. I stand before Christ's judgment seat, not the denominations. I refuse to go to their mother of their religion, Rome. I refuse to go, well, go over here to YouTube and go over here and meet me over here and hash it out. Why should I leave the judgment seat of Christ and go to your sacred place in Jerusalem, supposedly? Why should I waste my time? Well, I raise up a bunch of questions about this and that and the other. Yeah, when I answer them, you'll raise up a bunch more, Judas. Why should I waste my time answering questions for Judas when I've got Jesus sitting here to feed? Oh, hallelujah. Why should I waste my time answering a bunch of questions for people that ain't going to go on with God nohow when I've got sheep that's depending on me to feed them sheep food? Oh, Brother Don, if people have sincere questions, you should try to answer them. Really? When the woman come in and breaks the alabaster box of ointment on Jesus. And the Bible says, Judas says, why was not this sold for so much money and give to the poor? Judas had a question. But the scripture said, not because Judas loved the poor, but because he was a thief. So the question come from who he was, not for him wanting to know more truths. And if people are picking, arguing, and that's where their questions come from. Don't you see where their questions are giving birth from? Arguing and fussing and fighting. Why should I waste my time with it? If they've got a sincere desire and they want to know, that's one thing. Not one of the disciples or the Lord Jesus answered Judas' question. Why? It wasn't worth answering. You answer one for Judas, he'll get another. You answer that, he'll get another. So just go on and ignore Judas. He's got to go back where he come from anyhow. Oh my. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong? Man alive, this guy. Careful, Paul, careful. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. Where's all your royal highnesses and the honey and the jelly and the molasses and the butter? It ain't time for butter. It's time for a steak knife. Hypocrites use butter knives. Yeah, that's what they're good at, yeah, smothering it all around. Oh, my. As thou very well knowest, my goodness. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. If I'm preaching error and leading folks to hell, bring your Bible. And show me. And bring a life that's worth living. Don't bring me your words. Now, if you want me to give up what I've got and act like you, show me the way you're acting, and I'll tell you whether or not I want it. Well, Brother Donnie, I can drink now. I can smoke and I can do this and that and the other. I'm free. You're not free. You're going to hell. I know I don't want to go to hell. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice how bold. If I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. You want to kill me? Fine. I'll let you. I refuse to die.
But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them, I appeal unto Caesar. Uh-oh. Now we've got a problem. Now let me bring it down. If I'm a liar, if I'm a deceiver, I'm this and that and the other, I appeal my case to Almighty God. But Brother So-and-so, I ain't interested in what Brother So-and-so said. So-and-so's got a website. I ain't interested in their websites. I appeal my case to the Almighty. Praise the Lord. We take our case to the message of the hour, not to the Baptist, not to the message, not to a bunch of these half backslidden folks that pull away from it. We appeal to the Almighty, Brother David. And we say to the Almighty, if William Branham was a false prophet, why did you work with him for all those years? Why did you raise the dead? Why did you heal the sick? Why did you send down all these things, Almighty God? If he was a liar and a deceiver of men, why did you anoint him to deceive? What was that, sir? Oh, did y'all hear his answer? He said he wasn't a deceiver. Okay, that's good enough. Thank you. Right, right, right. He said he didn't vindicate liars. Oh, my.
Now watch. I appeal unto Caesar.
Partly now because he's already seen Porcius Festus has been tainted by the people. No doubt he already knows the same trick that they wanted to do before. They're going to try to do it again to come to Jerusalem. Part two. Part three and foremost. I've got to go to Rome. By vision, I'm going to Rome. So I appeal unto Caesar.
To be honest with you, friends, I personally don't care what the Assembly of God think about our church. I personally don't think what a bunch of these folks that go on YouTube and try to find out this and that and the other about me and you and whatever they want to pick. I really don't even care. You know what? I've got to answer before God. I ain't got no tribunal on the earth I'm going to stand before. There ain't a bunch of message preachers I'm going to stand before and get, Brother Donnie, why'd you say this and how come you? No, I appeal to the Almighty. I'm not going to stand before you and say, well, what about choose a board of six and then we'll have 13 women and then we'll have 27 men and all y'all just kind of decide my destiny. Ain't none of you going to decide my destiny. It was already decided before I knew I had a destiny. I don't want to shake you up too bad, but I can't even decide my own destiny. It's already decided before the foundation of the world. Oh, didn't you make a choice? I did. I decided what he decided was right. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. That I surrendered my will to what his will already was, and that's come to him.
Wow, look at these events. Now, if Paul would have went to Jerusalem and just preached a little sermon, then left and said, you know what, I need to go to Rome. I'm going to hire a donkey, and then I'm going to go over here by ship, and I'm going to do this and that. And then God said, no, let's make it a little bit more interesting. Paul, remember when I was here, I said, some of y'all is going to preach before rulers and kings. Several of the apostles by this time is already dead. Peter, as far as we know, never preached before a king. James did not get to appear before a king and preach. Many of these other apostles never got to appear before them. Somebody's got to fulfill that word. But don't think because you're going to get to preach before a king, they're going to roll out caviar and a red carpet. So what's God doing? God's going to fulfill his word.
This is a further part, but it looks like a mistake. It looks like Paul is fixing to get into bigger trouble.
He's not in trouble. He's right in the will of God. Let's go a little farther, shall we?
Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council,
which was his Roman councils around him,
answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar?
Unto Caesar shalt thou go." Now he wants to make sure them Jews hear that it was Paul that done it and not him. Fence straddler. Still wants their favor. Oh my.
And after certain days, King.
Ah, another king.
King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. Now this is King Agrippa the second. Bernice was his sister. He was by profession a Jew. Let me read you a little history about him. Had the power of the temple and the sacred treasury. Could dispose of the high priesthood as he thought proper. Bernice, who was with King Agrippa, was first married to her uncle Herod. After his death to Polemon, king of Sicilia, from whom she separated and lived in familiarity with her brother Agrippa. They were having an incestuous relationship. So a man of God's going to stand before that riffraff. A prophet of God's message is cut to pieces before a bunch of adulterers and liars and beer drinkers and whoremongers. Lord Jesus, why in the world am I cutting and flinging here tonight? Wow. My. Goodness. Now, notice Josephus directly charges her and her brother with incest. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Now remember, Agrippa also has another sister by the name of Drusilla, which was Felix's wife. So here we have kings and governors that's going to hear the message. Praise God. Don't tell me God don't know how to do what he's doing. Now, it'd have been much nicer if Paul was just bumped into him down Target or something and said, "Ain't you King Agrippa? Hey, how you doing there? Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus died so that you could be able to set free." He said, "God bless you. I was over here getting me something to drink. I just thought it'd witness to you there." But instead, he's standing here like this. He's bound. He's not getting the proper food. He's locked up in a place he don't want to be. Oh, my. I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, said, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Now, great King Agrippa, maybe you could help me with this situation since you're a Jew. "About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, 'Is it not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die? Before that which is accused, have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.'" Now he's laying the case out to Agrippa and Bernice. I guess they didn't have texts in that day, so Drusilla didn't tell her not to attend that meeting. Of course, if you remember, Drusilla and Bernice didn't get along too well anyway. "Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth." Now, this is an interesting case. I've never had one quite like this. And I just commanded him to be brought forth. "Again, so when the accusers stood up, they brought..." You hypocrite. You filthy hypocrite. You liar. Listen at this man's confession of the man he judged. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can't wait till the devil has to say this about us. "Again, some of the accusers stood up. They brought not accusation of such things as I supposed." I'm not sure what I was waiting for, but what I got wasn't what I thought I was going to get. "But had certain questions against him of their own superstition." Oh, wait a minute.
This man is guilty of sedition. This man is guilty of this and that and other. That ain't what he gathered out of it. Friends, don't you understand where Porcius Festus will stand that day before God? His own words will condemn him. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Well, may I agree with Paul tonight, Brother Mike, and say it. I affirm the same thing. Anybody else here want to affirm it with me? He is alive. He wasn't just alive in the book of Acts then. He's alive in the book of Acts as it continues tonight. Let's stand together. Oh, praise God. So Porcius Festus was a pretty sensible man. And what he was able to hear through all the rhetoric of the political lies, wasn't he? So Annas and the high priest and the Sanhedrin said this and that and the other. This is the consensus of what he gets out of it. Certain questions against him of their own superstition. Not the law against the emperor. Superstition, not a law against the temple. And of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Praise be to God. Oh, don't you love him with all your heart? What about your book of Acts? Have you had healings? Sure. Have you had miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural power of God? But are there many chapters in your book of Acts which are you dealing with people that make fun of you and laugh at you and persecute you and ridicule you and say all kinds of things against you? Yet in reality, when many of those people get in trouble, they come to you and want you to turn a prayer request in up here at this church to pray for them. How strange that God would hear a bunch of reprobates. Now, according to the man in the Bible that was blind and was his sight was restored to him, and when the Jews come to him and said, now praise God, give God the praise for this. And we're the servants of Moses. We follow his teaching. Said, for this man here, we don't know where he comes from. And this man said, now, this is a strange thing. This is a strange thing. He said, this man has opened my eyes. It's never been done since the foundation of the world. And you don't know where he come from? In St. John 9:31, he said that we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth. That old boy made a good preacher now. I'm telling you that right now. God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him, what's he telling him? This man ain't no sinner. I think you guys might be the sinners. I've had you guys to pray for me, and I've come through your prayer line 7 times, and I never got nothing. But this man come by one time and spits on the ground and rubs at my eyes and sent me. I come back seeing. I'm telling you, this man, don't you know where this man come from? Oh, hallelujah. They stood there and said, you're a sinner. You're born in fornication. You're going to try to teach us. And the Bible says they cast him out. And the scripture says when they cast him out, Jesus found him. Brother Branham, Taking Sides of Jesus, 1962, reads that phrase quotes, and he said, for script text rather, and he said, just remember, if they throw you out, Jesus will find you. So Jesus comes up to him and said, do you believe on the Son of Man? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? He said, it is he that speaketh to thee now. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Look, friends, it was so bitter, the persecution. They questioned his mom and daddy. And his own mom and daddy wouldn't stand with him. Their boy had been born blind, and they'd seen him blind all of his life. But this political power had such a fear on him. They said, he's old enough, let him speak for himself. Well, we're not sure how he's our son, all right, and he was born blind. There's no question about that. But now how he sees this stuff, he's saying he sees the light in the evening and light, Malachi 4 stuff. I don't understand none of that stuff. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. The boy, they're drinking Kool-Aid, and I know the pastor drinks the funny colored stuff. Do they pass that around? They have that in communion or something? Maybe he's drunk something that's kind of made him off in his head. Answer for himself.
You imagine? They all turned against him. Mom and daddy turns against him. And Jesus waited. Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't walk up by him when he's going through his greatest test? Jesus waited, Brother David, till he was thrown out. And then Brother Ram takes his title for that sermon after the men's meeting, taking sides with Jesus. Look, friends, oh, you say, I wish I'd been there that day. In his day, this is his day. Do you understand? Every person here tonight, everyone under the sound of my voice, you're having the same opportunity. Jesus is passing through us again. He's passing among us. We have our opportunity to take sides with Jesus or go the easier way for myself. I take sides with Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace to your people, Lord Jesus, down through the ages. Your way has always been the hated way. When you come to this earth, the prophet said you was persecuted from the time you was born to the day that you died. When you were born, they sent out a decree to kill all the babies looking for you. They was after you. They tried to set people up in your meetings, get you on your words. They've done everything in the world to try to stop you. When you left the earth and the focus changed, the attraction became the apostles, Satan aimed every gun in hell toward them. It's been the same in every age. When the prophet was here, much of the army of hell was against him. Now that he's been gone all these years, now Satan transfers it because the attraction has changed from the prophet to his prophecy. So the attraction is not just Brother Branham tonight, because he's done gone on into glory. But the attraction is the people of God who's received his message, the prophecy. Then, Lord Jesus, we will stand like the man in John 9. We will be cast out with you. We will be cast aside. We will be ridiculed, talked about, and made fun of, and so on. Because we have this promise. When they throw us out, you'll seek us out. Praise God. It won't be long, Lord, till they'll get so sick of us. In so many ways, they'll drive us from their midst, as it were. And when they do, you'll take us up to your house. Praise God. One morning, the sun will rise. It will look as it has for thousands or maybe millions of years. The little birds will start singing the same. Everything will seem the same. But all of a sudden we'll see our loved ones appear. And we'll know it won't be long that we're going to be changed. And you will say, my sweetheart, this earth has become so filthy. It's so unfit a place for you to live. I refuse to let you live here one more day. Come up to my place, darling. Come on up here. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. May we take our sides with you now, Father. Praise God. I'm glad I've come before the judgment seat of God. The wrath of God broke upon me, and my nature was destroyed. Then I was born again, or reunited again with another nature. And I was born married the first time, so I was reborn married the second time. And now I am partakers of a divine nature. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm growing. I'm still learning. On and on and on. Praise God, but I'm already married. And I stand here tonight married to the virtuous, sinless Son of the living God. Praise God. Then the judgment seat that I approached and asked for mercy not only transformed me, but it transformed the administrative power coming out of that seat. Where at once the judgment of God broke loose upon me and annihilated my first husband. Then the seat changed and became my mercy seat. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. Oh, don't you love Him, saints? Don't you love Him with all your heart? How many standing here beside me as one of your brothers before the mercy seat of God, not the judgment seat? If you're here tonight and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, you've heard this service or you'll archive it. May the Spirit of God move on your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I stood Sunday, a woman came up for prayer. The Lord moved for him. Brother Jim called me about it, give me the testimony that the woman's father called and was so elated of what God had done. God had turned the woman's life around. I thought, wow, you know, you go out there for one soul. You make that trip and go through all that you go through. That one soul, I hope by the grace of God we're able to meet her that day. You think God would do that? Sure He would do it. He'd do it for you. He'd do it for me. Would He? Sure He'd do it. Then what does it change? It changes from a judgment seat to a mercy seat. What does it do? It rewrites your life. It changes you. Transfers your identity from the old book to the new book. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If the devil wants to come reminding you of your past and the devil reminding you of your faults and failures, just shut him up. Tell him, I appeal to God. I ain't listening to you. I appeal to God. I go to God and God says, I don't find no evidence against you. So shut up, devil. I don't have to listen to the devil's lies. You don't have to listen to demons' lies. Appeal to God. Come on, saints. Appeal to God. And what does God say? Therefore, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus said, I go away. And He said, if I go away, I'll come again. But He also says, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go, the Comforter, the Paracletos, cannot come. But if I go away, He's going to come. And He's going to be right there. What is He? He's your lawyer. When you stand there and you make a mistake and you fall short of the glory of God, you've got a lawyer there that stands, hallelujah, he stands right there with you. Instead of going before the judgment seat and meeting the wrath of God, it's the Holy Spirit pleading on the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus, and He gives you forgiveness. Oh, praise God. The cherubims interlooking as they look upon the mystery of God as it's manifesting itself in your life. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. We worship you with all of our hearts, mighty God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. I pray for every one of them tonight, Lord, visible and invisible. Father, if they're sick, they're going through something in their life, a test or whatever more. Maybe the Lord, they're going through that 2 years as it was in the symbolism of Paul's life, and they don't understand where they are. They don't understand what's going on. Maybe even, Lord, part of it's their own fault. But help them to see, Lord, you not only move for your people, Lord Jesus, when we're doing good in the line of duty, but you move for us when we mess up ourselves. Abraham made a terrible, terrible mistake when he went to the land of the Philistines and the land of the Egyptians, but you just didn't move for Abraham when he was doing good. You move for Abraham when he'd done bad. Help him, I pray tonight, Lord, to realize the mercy of God is there for them when they do wrong. The mercy is there for them to repent and come back and make the thing right. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. We worship you with all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. You are worthy, O Lord. Can we worship Him just a little bit, saints, before we go? Oh, don't you appreciate His grace and His mercy to you tonight? Can you say for reality, by the grace of God, that you are not going to stand before the judgment seat of God? It would have been something to stand before Caesar, Nero. It would have been something to stand before those emperors, to catch him on a bad mood or whatever more. It's just the wrong thought or your wrong approach. It commands you to be fed to the lions or burn at the stake or whatever more. That ain't nothing compared to a soul that will stand before God. But think of it. If you're in Christ Jesus tonight, you'll never stand before God
as the millions and billions and billions of people will stand before him. And when they walk up there one by one by one, they stand there in that body they sinned in. And their record will be pulled up on a big screen. Every time a man lusted after a woman, every time he got on a pornography website, every time he listened to rock and roll music or country or whatever more, every time he lied, every time he cheated, every time he stole, the record will be right there. And your record would be there too if it wasn't for the grace of God. But the grace of God took yours and annihilated it and put it in the sea of forgetfulness and washed you whiter than snow. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's not us that makes us better. We're not better than these people out here. What makes us better is the seat. The seat. The seat that you're called to approach. The mercy seat. The mercy seat. Glory to God. Why? He reaches out his scepter to you, Esther. By law, you should be killed. You have no way to approach the king. But his judgment seat become your mercy seat. So he reaches out his scepter to you and said, what can I do for you, my darling? Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I've fallen short. Lord, I've sinned. I'm not where I need to be. Touch the head of my scepter. Ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. I want forgiveness, Lord. I want mercy. I want reconciliation. I want redemption. I want healing. What do you need tonight, Esther? Reach out here and touch the head of the scepter of the king. Let him minister to you. You're not coming to him with eyes of fiery judgment, his feet of brass. He has eyes of love. His banner over you is love. His banner over you is love. You've come under his canopy and he's spread his skirt over you and espoused you to himself. Praise God. Oh, let's just worship him a little bit now, can we? Let's just close our eyes. Oh, my. Harry, just sing something for us, whatever's on your heart. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you tonight, Lord, from mercy seat. We thank you, blessed God. We're deserving of hell. As far as the natural part was lost like anybody else was. But mercy got a hold of us. Amen. Amen. The administration changed from the seat. And it changed us with it. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. As soon as judgment struck forth on that nature and the justice of God was met on that nature, then the administration changed. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. As your prophet said, the blood of Jesus will come down through that little loop of time. And that blood will cover all the way from the beginning of that to the end. Glory to God. When the loop has been covered entirely in the blood of the sacrificial lamb after the last day of the millennium. Glory to God, then that loop will be pulled back up into the circle of eternity. And we'll be back in the presence of the eternal again. Once the block of time has been totally immersed in the blood. Glory to God, that's the only way. It was dropped down without blood. It'll be pulled back with blood. Glory to God, it was dropped down by sovereignty. It was dropped down by the predestinated plan of God. But how can a block of time that ever held all these taints of sin ever be pulled back into this circle of eternity? It must be immersed in the crimson flow. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. No wonder the symbolism of the lamb was identified there in the very Garden of Eden when you took that lamb and took its life. Hallelujah. You was the first messenger of that first age, Lord God. You was prophesying by taking that blood. From there on down, it's been blood. Glory to God. That blood which could not cleanse them and make them whole was pointing to the perfect atonement. Now we point back to that, Lord Jesus. We stand here tonight thanking you, Lord. Oh, blessed Lord God, knowing that something has happened in our own lives. Then, Lord God, if we stand under the administration of the mercy seat, it ought to be that there is a life of the Lamb itself living inside of us. Then we don't live the same life we used to live. Our nature has been changed. The sin nature is gone, Lord. Hallelujah. We live by the life flowing not from the cherubims, but from the Lamb itself. where the prophet of God said the angels of God, the cherubim, stood there keeping them away from the tree of life. Now the angels of God stand here today guarding us toward it. Oh my, even our angels that bear before your presence. The prophet of God said it's only promised that the elect have angels. They follow us every day of our life. When we recognized the word of God was eagle food and we left the other thing, we heard from our theophany. I don't know exactly how that works. My human ear didn't hear from it, but something inside of me must have heard from my theophany. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. We worship you, Lord. Can we just love him a little before we go, saints? Oh, my. You remember now what they did around the mercy seat, don't you? The cherubims, the seraphims, the zooms. They worshiped. They offered incense. They offered incense. They worshiped before the presence of God. I hope you can understand this. Angels can only stand there till you and I arrive. And once we arrive one day, the angels will actually back out from the holy place. They'll leave the holiest of holies. They'll leave the outer court. They'll actually move to the outside of the earth. And there they'll circle the earth. Brother David, they'll bow their heads. They'll bow their heads. How could it be possible? The only way is a higher order has took their place. The angels would never leave his throne. They would never leave his throne unprotected. They would never leave him without praise unless a higher order has now took their place. Do you understand? You are the higher order, the redeemed order. And the angels will circle the earth. They will actually circle the earth, Brother Greg. They will circle the earth and they will bow their heads. Why is that a mystery to you? What are they doing? Same thing the cherubim's done in the Old Testament. Bowing their heads. Look what they're doing. They're bowing their heads as they circle the earth. Why? The bride and the bridegroom is in the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. The bride and the bridegroom is in the Holy of Holies and they are bowing their heads. Unlocking the finishing mercy of God. As we sing the songs of redemption. And they will bow their heads and just circle the earth. Because they don't understand what we're singing about. I don't want to wait till we get there to sing it. I want to sing it now. Amen. Amen. Would you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Tell them, brother, sister, by God's grace, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, Brother Wes. I'm going to be there, Brother Samuel. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, my brothers, my sisters. My brothers and sisters are streaming tonight. Let me look into the camera and tell you, we're going to see you. By God's grace, we're going to be there together. There ain't enough devils in hell that's going to stop us. We're going to be there by the grace of God. Are we, church? We're going to be there. Praise God when the angels circle the earth. And we are in the presence of our King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
My chains are gone.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I've been set free by God, my Savior, ransomed me.
Yes, Lord.
And like a glove, His mercy. My chains are gone. I've The earth will soon dissolve like the sun forbear to shine.
Praise God.
But God, who called me here below, He will be forever mine. 'Cause my chains are gone. I've been set free.
I am
my Savior. Has ransomed me.
The devil can't buy us no more.
Like a flood.
We don't belong to the devil no more.
His mercy.
Name of the Lord. Living, He loved me. Dying, He carried my sins far away. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you love Him, saints? Are you sure? Are you sure it's hitting you tonight that you're not going to stand before the judgment seat? Are you going to see as the mercy? Say, what will I see, Brother Donnie? When you see your body change, you'll know it's mercy in its fullness. You've been spared once again the judgment of the tribulation period. But look at what's happened tonight. It's token time, friend. With the token comes an assurance. We have passed from death unto life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we got to give Him just a little bit more praise. Surely we got more than that on Wednesday night. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship You. We bless Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. You say, why do you want us to praise Him so much for? I'm trying to get you ready for that great celebration after a while. Amen. Amen. And we're going to stand there and worship Him with all of our might. Praise God. Amen. We worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. You've been so good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. You saved us. Oh, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, hallelujah, You redeemed us. We worship You tonight, Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for all Your mercy and all Your goodness. Glory be to God. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Amen. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like travel. God bless you, saints. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. Go in the fear of God.
Let's just come with an expectant heart. You love Him with all your heart. Amen. You love one another. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. It's glittering towers. The sun outshine. I feel like...